Luke chapter 19, verses 20 through 40. We want to deal with from the thought, from the title, things are about to change. And the worst thing you can do is try to get in somebody's way when things for them are about to change. As we start this message, I would like to read to you what the commentary of my Bible says. It says, the last week in Jerusalem, as they neared Jerusalem from Jericho, Jesus and the disciples came to the villages of Bethany and Bethphage, nestled on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, only a few miles outside Jerusalem. Jesus stayed in Bethany during the nights of that last week, entering Jerusalem during the day. By this time, Jesus was extremely well known. Everyone coming to Jerusalem for the Passover feast had heard of him, and for a time, the popular mood was in his favor. For a time, the popular mood was in his favor. The Lord hath need of him was all the disciples needed to say, and the colt's owners gladly turned their animals over to the disciples. Christians celebrate this event as Palm Sunday. The people lined the highway, praising God, waving palm branches, and throwing their cloaks in front of the colt as it passed before them. Long live the King was the meaning of their joyful shouts, because they knew Jesus was intentionally fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass. To announce that he was indeed the Messiah, Jesus chose a time when all Israel would be gathered at Jerusalem, a place where huge crowds could see him, and the way of proclaiming his mission that was unmistakable. The people went wild. Now they were sure their liberation was at hand. The people who were praising God for giving them a king had the wrong idea. But don't worry about it. They had the wrong idea about Jesus, but sometimes you can start out with the wrong idea if you hang around them long enough. It's all right. At least they're hanging around. Amen. Some folks come to church for other reasons, but just keep on hanging around. It's all right. They had the wrong idea about Jesus. They expected he would be a national leader who would restore their nation to its former glory. And thus they were kind of like deaf to the words of their prophets and blind to Jesus' real mission. When it became apparent that Jesus was not going to fulfill their hopes, many people turned against him. That happens to us sometimes. When we feel like Jesus is not going to bless us the way we won't get blessed, we turn against him. But we talk so badly about the disciples and how they turned on Jesus. And if I was there, I would have done. You don't know what you would have done. You don't know what you would have done. That's why. That's exactly why I don't mess with women when they're having babies. I don't know what it takes. They scream, kick the doctor. They don't kick me. Kick the doctor and everything. I ain't had none. I ain't going to talk about stuff I don't know. I don't know what it takes. Hallelujah. See, if you don't have no experience with it, leave it alone. You're talking about something you haven't even been. I think about Judas. And everybody talk about Judas. But God said, but wait a minute. Suppose you had the bag. Suppose you had the bag. And suppose your family was going through some financial hard times. We always want to talk about stuff, what we would do. You don't know what you would do. Well, you got to be careful. I know what I would like to do. But when that situation becomes real, sometimes you don't know what you might do. And you can still be saved. Thank God for repentance. I'm in the wrong church again. I keep on making a mistake, writing the wrong sermon for the wrong person. There's a need to be aware that some, not all of the people in the crowd were looking for a political king instead of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. But from the Old Testament perspective, Jesus was fulfilling scripture, fulfilling prophecy, Zechariah 14:4, Zechariah 9:9, Psalm 118:26, Isaiah 62:11. That's only a few of them. But I would suggest to you today that even though some of the people in the crowd did not fully understand who Jesus was, they still felt that because of him being there, because of his presence, things were about to change. There is power in hope.
When you've been in something long enough and going through something long enough and realize that your situation can change, that it no longer has to be the way that it is, you will have some hope. And you begin to look towards who or what can fulfill that hope and make that change in your life. So as you look at Luke 19, 28 through 40, we will find and probably agree that there were many people in the crowd for a variety of reasons. Many people come to church for a variety of reasons, but they're in the crowd. And nothing wrong with being in the crowd. But somebody in the crowd needed a change. They were tired and sick and tired of being sick and tired. They were tired of going through what they went through. They were tired of being oppressed by the Roman government. They were just tired. And somehow through Jesus, there was this new life, this new hope, this new kingdom consciousness that was about to break forth. So they were in the crowd for a reason. You know, that's what Obama said. He said, you know, change. Oh, yes, we can. If you get enough folk to believe in what you're saying and what you're trying to do, they're going to get in your crowd. For whatever reason. Some were looking for this, some were looking for that. See, you don't really care about what the crowd's looking for. You just want to make sure that you're able to do what the crowd needs to be done. So Jesus is one that can do any and everything but fail. In consideration of our scripture for today in Luke 19, 28 through 40, let us consider these 3 points. Number one. The reaction from the crowd. The reaction from the crowd. Number two, the reaction from the Pharisees. Don't forget, you always got some Pharisees in the crowd. You always got somebody talking about, it don't take all that. But they don't know what you've been through. They don't know how long you've been waiting for a change to come. I mean, I used to feel the same way some folks felt when I first came back into the church. I'm looking at folks like, what is all that about? Why you got to be screaming and hollering and frothing at the lips and rolling all on the floor? But then I found out when my turn came. See, if you got everything going on and you don't need the Lord to bless you and you don't need the Lord to speak to your situation or to speak to your marriage or to speak to your finances or to speak to your children, then you're going to be like, what's all that about till your turn comes? I learned how to shut up and let folks do what they do. Matter of fact, I start learning. Is that how you get a breakthrough? Is that how you praise them after you get the breakthrough? I mean, in high school, my nickname was Cool Doug, but sometimes you can't be cool. Lord have mercy. Yeah, you know. In high school, that works. You don't let nothing bother you. Go higher than it bothers you. You come back out. Look like it's all right. So number one, the reaction from the crowd. Number two, the reaction from the Pharisees. And number three, Jesus' response to the Pharisees about the praisers. Oh, glory be to God. You always got some praisers in the crowd. Everybody's not going to praise God with you. So don't get mad. You don't get 100% participation. Go and praise him for yourself. So some folks don't know what you've been through, what you've been waiting on. They don't know what you went through last night. You might not look like what you went through, but because you had enough sense to get up and wash your face and put some clean clothes on and get yourself something to eat. But that don't mean your situation actually changed yet. But there's a thing. Things about to change for somebody up in here today. You didn't feel like coming. Somebody encouraged you to come. Somebody pressed you to come. The reaction from the crowd. To say the crowd was excited would be an understatement. And to say that everyone in the crowd was excited would be a misstatement. But nevertheless, there are people who like who and what they see, and for some reason they join in the Palm Sunday procession. As Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. I think in John 12, where they talk about the triumphal entry, I think in John 12 it says, they ran to meet him. So
Some folk, they were standing where he was riding back. In John 12, they got so excited, they ran to meet him. See, sometimes when change is in the air, and you've been waiting long enough, if you see it, you don't want to wait no more. You are running to it. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Jesus rides to Jerusalem. The disciples cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus on the colt, and the people spread their clothes, and they spread palm branches, and they wave palm branches, which is a sign of victory, as Jesus processed. And when Jesus arrived at the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, the crowd following Jesus, began to do in Luke 19, 37 and 38. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a what kind of voice? With a loud voice. For all the mighty works they had seen. I love that. They weren't praising him for what he was going to do, even though they knew he could do. They were praising him for what they had seen. Oh, my God. That's good. See, that's how you and I are supposed to be. When another problem comes up, I can praise him for what I've already seen. That's how you live the Christian life. Each victory helps you another victory. That's how you're supposed to live it, say. They were praising him for what they had seen. Jesus riding this. He hadn't done no miracles today. He ain't fed no 5,000. He didn't raise no Peter's mother-in-law today. They praising him. That's why you can't forget how God's been good to you. When I look back over my life and think, that's how you stay in the Lord. That's how you stay in the church. That's how you stay in God. God, no matter what might come, when I begin to think about how good you've been, when I begin to think about how you kept me from danger, seen and unseen, things are about to change. They praised him for works they had seen. That means that what he did was so powerful that on Palm Sunday, they still had some praise left. See, when you run out of praise, you're done. You're done. And when you can only praise him for what he's doing, you're done. When you can only praise him for what he can give to you, you are done. You got to praise him sometimes when he's just riding by your house. Long as he's in my area, I'm all right. I don't want to be in a church where Jesus can't ride up in there every now and then. Because things are about to change. Because the way God works this thing, he doesn't just give you all the blessings all at one time. They rejoice and praise God, not just because it was Palm Sunday. Because if you think about a lot of them, they understand that this man was on his way to Calvary. They were looking for a political king, not a spiritual savior liberator. So what he did was so powerful that even though my mind was tricked up about who he was still worthy of all the praise. Oh, I wish I had it. You see what's going on here? They had the wrong idea. Look, when I was in church, I had the wrong idea, too. I thought I had to be there because my mama sent me. Oh, Jesus. Think about that. But some stuff was going on in the church that he was worthy. Folks talking about being healed, being delivered, got a new house. Come on. But see, I found out if I couldn't be happy for somebody else, that, you know, I wasn't really in the family. You got to learn how to thank God for what he's doing in other folks' lives. You can't be envious, can't be jealous, you can't be hating. Matter of fact, if they're close to you, if he blessed cuz, and me and cuz got the same blood. Matter of fact, let me tell you a secret. If he blessed cuz,
hang more out with cuz. I mean, cuz is cool. If he say, she say, hang out with him. Rub elbows with him. What's up, cuz? Just call him, check in. You ain't used to call me like that. Well, I ain't used to see you being blessed like that. You might as well tell the truth.
The mighty works that they had seen, past tense. And then they were saying Psalm 118:26. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I said, peace in heaven? Why can't be peace in heaven? God said, because where he getting ready to go on the cross, I'm going to have to turn my back on him. My God, when you had a friend that would go to anything and everything for you, that their daddy would turn their back on your friend. He's doing this for us, and he was going to let his father turn his back on for you and for me. They were like, and they called him King and Lord. That's important that you remember that. Because when you get down to the Pharisees, they're going to call him Master. And we'll talk about what that means. So they say, your Jesus ain't everybody Jesus. Then you are excited talking about Jesus. You praising God and hallelujah. Full of you like, hey, he's just a man. I beg your big pardon. Not only were some people in the crowd looking for a political Jesus, but some of them were looking for a Savior. The Pharisees thought he was coming to deal and mess with their power. They felt their power base being threatened. See, you got to be careful, because when Jesus liberates you, some folk that had you in bondage going to get upset. There's some people that have been helping you, but they when they help you, they won't talk about it. She wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for me. He wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for me. But Pharisees getting threatened now. Look here, man. We run the temple. We run stuff up in here. You ever been somewhere folk run stuff? And they let you know they run stuff. You know, you ain't done nothing wrong, but as soon as you show up, let me tell you something. Don't touch this, and don't touch this, and don't touch this, and don't touch this, and don't do this, because we run what's up in here. But they felt threatened. So their reaction to the praise was different. They were messed up. First of all, what's all that noise about? There's some people in our community. They, when you get too loud with the music and praise the Lord, what's going on? I'm calling cops. They're disturbing my peace. You ain't got no peace. You ain't got Jesus. But they don't understand that. They don't understand that right now. I didn't understand either. But see, sometimes you just got to go through something so you can understand who Jesus is and what Jesus does. But things are about to change. And when things are about to change, I come to let you know that when folks in the crowd, don't mess with them. Because things are about to change. You get trampled on. When you see your miracle, when you see your blessing, and you see your healing, your deliverance riding by you, can nobody mess with you? You better look. Some days you come to church like that. Folk want to nudge you and talk, say, look, not today. I know I ran my mouth last week, but last week I was blessed. Last week I had money. Come on, somebody. This week I'm messed and not blessed. You know how we do? We take a light sometimes. When we got what we want from God, we take a light. The message don't really mean much when we got what we need. All right, I'm here, you know. I ain't always there this week. I got what I needed from the Lord. But when you looking for something, well, you'd be like, you'd be like, gave your kids some stuff to put them to sleep. Here, you still got your coat here. Take this. By the sleep, my little black eyed baby. But what was the Pharisees' reaction? Look at Luke 19:39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples.
Everybody in the crowd with you don't want you to be blessed. They're not praising God with you. They want to know what your problem is because they don't understand who he is to you.
They got another agenda.
But since it's a public processional, I can't put them out the crowd. So what I do is, you can stay in the crowd, but don't block my blessing. Oh, my God.
You deserve to be blessed. Don't let folk block your blessing. Things about to change in your life. They don't want things to change in life. Because they always looking at you, oh, poor little you. You go to church every Sunday, and you are worse than me.
I say, you just hold on a minute. My change, I don't see you going nowhere, so I don't even expect you to change.
You got to know who Jesus is. You can't just be pulling out of the crowd because somebody don't like you praising him and worshiping him and doing certain things and all. And you know, you just got to stay in there. But they was upset. They upset. The Pharisees, they said, Jesus. But they called him Master. And Master means teacher, instructor, one who provides instruction, implying authority over students or followers.
Wow, they really reduced Jesus.
You are an instructor, and you provide instructions over your students and your followers, and we're just in the crowd. We're not your students,
and we're not your followers, but we're instructing you to rebuke thy disciples. Because you ain't really no king, man. Look how you coming in on a donkey, man, on a coat. And you look at you, man. Look how you dress, man. You got somebody lands in coat, sitting on the donkey, you riding on that, man. You ain't got no pop, and you ain't got no circumstance. You don't have nobody, no foot soldiers. That's all it's about. You ain't no king, man. Behold, blessed be the king that comes. You ain't got no crown. No jewelry. No stallions. No carriage. No gold. Come on, gold, y'all. Come on, go, 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 go. Gold!
So as far as the Pharisees are concerned, you need to stop all this noise.
Because it's for nothing. You're just some dude coming through, man. And you were able to get people excited. You did some miracles. You did some stuff over here. Who's all this riding in, you know, into Jerusalem?
I said, we need you to tell them to be quiet, man. The crowd, they were proclaiming. The Pharisees says, rebuke thy disciples. In other words, tell them you are not who they think you are. The devil ever tell you that while you're in service? You get ready to get your healing, get ready to get your deliverance. And the devil always in your ear, not today. Try to mess with your faith and get you all into unbelief and all that. You got to be careful who you let get up in your ear. That's what I like about the woman with the issue of blood. She was in the crowd. And she pressed her way to get what she needed. And some folks say, look at her, she all rude and stuff. They ain't care about her. But she said, look, I'll give you an excuse me later, but I got to get something right now. You got to, look, I got some manners, but my issue is greater than me saying, excuse me to you right now. I got to go get what I got to get.
Tell them, folks, you're not who you say you are. Tell them, be quiet. There's no need for all this loud praise for you, man. All this stuff ain't necessary. There's some folk telling you, that ain't necessary. You got to be careful who you hook up with. Because sometimes when you hook up with somebody, say, now you ain't got to go to church every Sunday. That's what they be doing. You ain't got to go every Sunday. Come on.
What you mean you saved and we can't do this? What?
Got quiet up in here. You precious, we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Ain't no samples up in here.
Jesus.
They be trying to mess you up. Yeah. I love you.
But why don't you stay home and watch the football game with me? Huh? And sometimes, broad man come to church. They see who up in there. First brother speak to you, say, good morning, sister.
Then all of a sudden he joined and become a member.
You gotta watch his boo. Cause she covers, she on the choir. She on the number two usher board. She on the hospitality. She on the treasure board. You stay there too much. I ain't going out like that.
You see, the problem with the Pharisees' request is that when change is in the air and things are about to change and people have been looking for change, it's hard to tell people to be quiet when change has arrived. And change is close enough to see and close enough to hear and close enough to touch. So they said, Jesus, rebuke thy disciples. That means in a strong tone, tell them to be quiet. But how does Jesus respond to the Pharisees about their problem with the praisers? Some people got a problem with praise. Some people they don't like praise teams, you know. Some people don't like that. They don't like praise teams. They say, what's all that for? It's for folk like you. Don't know why you're sitting in church. That's what it's for, trying to get your wandering mind in. Remind you why you're here.
You go to the club, it's all right what they play. You're getting it all. Spend the money you ain't got. Come to church, we try to bring you in with the word, with the songs. You'd be like, what is all that?
How long the service going to be?
I'm scared the way our program laid out. Because some folks come and look at it. I look at their face and be like. I say, dude, one Sunday, touch the person next to them and say, where are they at? Because they look so long.
All right, never mind.
What if I'm somewhere I want to be? They can take all night. So you got to want to be here. Oh, my God. You got to want to serve the Lord. You got to want to be in church. You got to want to be blessed. This ain't no in and out kind of thing. This ain't no fast food place.
Like Coach Master said in her prayer, some of us go deep into the stuff that we in. It take God a little time to pull us out. He pulls out too quick. We think it's us. How did Jesus respond? Luke 19:30 says that the people were not just praising him because it was Palm Sunday. They were praising him for all the mighty works that they had seen. Now see, what you already experienced, can't nobody mess with that.
What you already know, they can't take that from you. What you already have and been blessed with, what God already said to you, they can't mess with that. That's yours. That's on lockdown. They can't mess with that. What they had already seen and experienced and heard.
They couldn't mess with that. Jesus answered the Pharisees by saying, I tell you,
since he's riding on a colt, he's humble,
I put these words in Jesus' mouth. I don't want to be too prideful. I know y'all call me master. I'm just a little teacher. But I am worthy. And I do deserve the praise. And I deserve the honor. And I deserve the glory. But I need to know something, my Pharisee brothers. Do you really want me to rebuke the crowd and tell them to be quiet? I know you all are smart. I know you all are intelligent. And you are learned men. But you need to be careful about what you want me to do. Because you're used to praise and expressions of excitement coming from the mouths of human beings. But this master, as you call me, if this master tells the multitude to be quiet, they may be quiet. Probably if I wave my hand to the crowd right now as though I was going to say something, they would probably quiet down. But then you're going to have another problem.
Come on, you got to be careful. You got to be careful when you mess with Jesus, because you may ask for one thing and get another thing if you really don't want it. You're not interested in them. You want the crowd to shut up. You want the church to lock the door. You want the service to be over, and you're not even in the service.
Oh, my God. They'll be quiet, but you might have another problem. Because as master, you, as y'all call me, I do deserve the praise. I deserve the honor and the glory. And if the people stop praising me, then you're going to have another problem. Since you all are learned men, I know y'all know the Old Testament. And have you ever read the book of Habakkuk? Have you ever read chapter 2 and verse 11 where it says, "For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it." Have you ever read? I know y'all know the Old Testament. Y'all learned men. But if you want the crowd to be quiet, if you want them to hold their peace, Jesus says in verse 40, he answered and said, "If I tell you that, if these should hold their peace, you're going to have an immediate problem. You're going to have a problem because I was there when the earth was made. I am the creator. You're going to have a problem. I just want to know, before I make them be quiet, I want to know, can you handle the consequences of your request?" That's all I want to know. All I want to know, can you handle the consequences of your request? Because if I tell them to be quiet, something's going to happen immediately, because I'm worthy of all the glory. I'm worthy of all the honor. I'm worthy of all the praise. And if you won't let me get it from the crowd on a Palm Sunday, there are some other places in the earth that might just cry out for me. I want to know if you're ready for this. And it's easy for you to tell me to tell folk to be quiet, but what's getting ready to happen if I tell them to be quiet? I don't know how you're going to tell the other thing to be quiet, but do you really want me to tell them to be quiet? One thing you have to realize, Pharisees, is that you look like you got it going on. You got everything you need. These people want some change. They've already been blessed some more. So do you really want me to tell them to be quiet? He said, "Yes, I tell you that. If these people should hold their peace." I was like, "Lord, how did he say it to him?" And God said, I don't think he said it like real quick. I think he just, you know, as a teacher, as a master, as an instructor, you know, little science lesson, you know, little miracle science lesson. "If I tell them to hold." And I said, "Why would I'm going to hold their peace?" He said, "Because once I tell them to hold their peace and this other thing happens, they're going to have to let that peace go. They're going to shout again. I want to know. Do you really want me?" Because then you're going to have double praise up in here. But y'all go, "If these should hold their peace, since you don't understand who I am, you call me master, and when I am master, then the stones would immediately cry out." And the only reason I tell them to hold their peace is because once the stones cry out, there's going to be a praise up in here that you won't be able to contain. What did he say? "When I bless one of y'all, everybody ought to shout." Stones going to cry out. Can you imagine that? You imagine how they looked at him? What do you mean a rock going to cry out? Who are we dealing with? I can see the Pharisees now. Hey, come on, y'all. Let's look at these stones. I don't see no lips on these stones. I don't see no mouth on these. These stones aren't even alive. He said, "That's because you don't understand who I am. I can speak. I spoke things into existence." He said, "So if I tell them the whole their peace, hidden stones will cry out in the hour." We say immediately the stones will cry out. And when the people that are praising me hear the stones cry out, what do you think they're going to do?
don't have an awesome service in the Lord, and folks getting what they need from the Lord, and they getting blessed and getting delivered and getting set free, and God's response goes up. The whole church goes up.
These stones would immediately cry. You don't really want that, my Pharisee brothers. Because when the presence of God shows up and changes in the air, and things are about to change, and when enough people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and their help has come and change is near, they may just act like it's Palm Sunday. And because you don't understand, and because you don't feel the need, and you can't feel what they feel, you can't get into it. But it's more than a Palm Sunday. It's a deliverance Sunday. There's change in the air. So you don't really want to ask. As a matter of fact, they will probably get hoarse before the stones stop.
So would you rather wait for a few hours till they don't have no more voice? Or you want the stones to start talking to you?
That's where that song came from. I can't stop. You know that song we play, Can't Stop Praising Them? And every time it seems like it's going in, they kick it back up in there.
Because see, I think some people in the choir have been blessed with so much that every time they try to end the song, they say, no. It's my turn. Can't stop. And they say, okay, let's bring it on down. Bring it on. No. You don't know what happened to me. You don't know. That's why sometimes in the service, it's so hard to do the benediction because God's still moving. And every time you try to close the service down, something else happens. Somebody else jump up over here, and there's a fire over here, and a fire over there, a praise over here, and a praise over there. And somebody else sitting there like, what they praising God for? Because they got their answer. They got their breakthrough. See, when folk come to the church, you don't have a system checking out what's wrong with them. They just come sit down right next to you. Look just as normal. Look just as normal, like everything's fine. And then you hit that word, or somebody hit a certain song, or somebody pray a certain prayer, and they just lose it. I mean, they was cute and handsome before it all started. But, sometimes you come to church, you ought to wear some loose-fitting clothes, and you ought to wear some messed-up stuff, and you ought to pin it down. Ah, Jesus! Because sometimes when God begins to move, when God begins to answer your prayer and bless your life, you ain't got time to be cute. You've been waiting for your blessing. Change is in the air. Somebody being blessed right now. But they ready to give up. They ready to throw in the towel. And God is just, no, you hold on. God is telling someone today, I know you're tired of waiting on me, but guess what? If you won't praise me. Wasn't that a song, I don't want no rock to cry out?
Can't stop praising. Jesus is worthy of all the praise. Well, you know how to praise him in season and out of season. Anybody ever praise God while you broke?
You broke. I mean, you broke as all get out broke.
Somebody said they were so broke they couldn't pay attention.
But broke don't mean you ain't got no joy. Broke doesn't mean that heaven is bankrupt. Broke does not mean that God did not hear your prayer. Broke does not mean that God didn't send you a blessing and is on the way. You gotta be careful how you look at broke. I'm broke for a minute. Just for a minute. So God let me know.
And you get home sometime and somebody call you and somebody put a little envelope in your door.
Before you left the church, somebody done walled all up on your hand. How you doing? I'm doing fine! Woo!
Somebody gave you a check. You said, Lord, my bank account is closed because my check account is all messed up. And you go find one of those cash check plates.
And you said, do let them know. I come here all the time. Don't you charge me. Well, you want all your money. I'm going to handle with you.
This thing is so real. Don't charge me. I come in all. Don't charge. When I get straight, I'll be back. Don't charge me. Don't take no $5 out of this $25 check.
Come on. Be real. How many people here have actually looked at the refrigerator and didn't have nothing in it? But you ain't throw the refrigerator out, did you? You didn't get the refrigerator away, did you? Come on, somebody. I come to let you know because God hasn't blessed you yet. Don't you leave the church. Don't you give up on God. You stay right there. You stay right there. You stay right there. You stay right there. Man, one argument and you want to leave the house and get a divorce. That's the devil. You got one boss on your job that don't like you. Now the whole job is messed up. So God sent you there for a reason. And sometimes you got to work your way through the crowd to get what you need. And while you're in the crowd, praise Him. Praise Him. Go ahead and praise Him. Not for what you're waiting for, but what you already see Him. I know you're going through right now, but did He do anything for you before you got to where you are? See, what we don't understand, the only reason we are where we are is because we had what we had. And the devil didn't like it. And the devil said, you think you got saved? You think God could do this for you?
I'm getting ready to throw something up. What did you say? Blocks. Blocks on top of. But here comes a bowling ball of God. Because your change is about to come. Don't leave God. If you ain't throw the refrigerator out, you ain't throw the stove out, say.
If you keep the appliances, keep the master. Keep the.
You know why you ain't throw the refrigerator out? Because somewhere in your mind, you know you got some food coming from somewhere. You know why you ain't throw the stove out? Because somewhere in your mind, you're going to be cooking again. In a minute. That's why you ain't throw the pots and pans away. Because you know. Why throw your Jesus away? Don't you know in a minute it's going to be alright. Pastor, how can you say in a minute? Because God don't wear a watch. God doesn't count time like we count time. 1,000 years.
We done got so doggone impatient in this culture.
And this society, we try to rush God. What did somebody say the other night about special order? They went to a restaurant. And he ordered, he had something on the menu, it was on the menu, he had a special order. And it took them longer to make his special order. Because it was special. And when his special order came out, the folk in the restaurant looked at his special order and started hating on him.
And he said,
this was a prophet, Todd Hall. He said, I said, why are y'all mad at me? Y'all in the same restaurant. You ain't got no vision. You couldn't see beyond what they put in front of you. You couldn't ask for, it's a special order. It took me longer. You got there in 30 minutes. I had to wait 2 hours for this. And you tell somebody, when you bless, you ain't got to come to my house. You know how long it's going to be to get this house? You ain't got to come. It's on special order. You fearfully want to remain. You special. Don't let the enemy beat you up and tell you what you're not. You got to know who you are. And who your daddy is. And where your help comes from. And where your blessings come from. And where your grace and mercy come from. And because we need mercy, grace, and for life, you can't come in the church and out the church and in the church. No, no. You want a continuous flow. Things about to change. You ever think about that? When folk going through, they don't throw all their appliances out. They get to call the folk. Hey.
Remember all them years you ate over here? Hey.
Come on, somebody. Oh. And remind folks, I've been good to you. Yeah.
But God will work it out. Yes, he will.
Sometimes God will bless somebody to call you.
And don't be too proud.
Because
you're the one that always had.
But then when God did, he gave them something so they could bless you with it. Because you've been blessed. God sees what you're doing. You ain't got to make no announcement. You ain't got to put it in the newspaper. You ain't got to put it on TV. Just go on, do what you do. Keep on blessing folks. And God going to take care of you. But wisdom says, be ready for the lean days. Don't eat it all up right now. Put the something in the back of your freezer. Put a little grease in the jar so when you go through the process and you say, I ain't got nothing but a little cruise of oil. Well, go knock on everybody's door and get you some pops. You'd be like, what is the prophet telling me to do? Well, his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And I understand that as many pots as they had, that little cruise of oil kept on pouring and pouring. Pastor, what you trying to say? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Pastor, what you saying? God don't bless you enough to bless your whole family. Oh. He told her, take all these pots of oil, pay your debt, and live. Because things about to change in your life, I come to let somebody know, God, give a pour into your life. Don't get full. Don't run away when you get your first pot full of blessings. Don't run away from the church. Don't run away from God. Don't mess it up. Because as long as you are receptacle, as long as you're willing vessel, sometimes in your house, certain appliances make the noise. Like sometimes you put your water on to make the noise. Like, and when you got enough, you turn it off. But when you open it up again, guess what? Some more water come out. That's where my God is. You might have enough for right now, but when you need some more, just come back. I'm just talking about Jesus. And I know he's on his way to Calvary. But some stuff he did while he was here blew my mind. And I decided if he's not a political king, he's all right with me. I decided he may not come to overthrow the government, but he can take over my life anytime. The government don't mean me no good, but Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Things about change. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And sometimes it's not the money, it's health. And sometimes it's not money and health, sometimes it's deliverance from something. Sometimes it's not money, health, deliverance. It's just wanting to be in your right mind, being looking in the mirror, being okay with yourself. Being okay with who you are and how God is dealing with you. If the truth were told today, none of us has yet arrived. All of us got some junk in the trunk. And God is still perfecting us. Things about to change. See, I don't know all that God would have it to be, but I'm staying right there. God, every time I feel I'm empty. Because things about to change. And by the time God fills you up, and you get them bills paid off, you be ready to shout. Because now, since he's a God of plenty, you can go do some of the things that you always wanted to do. And that's the awesome thing about God. As long as we don't forget him, he don't forget us. Hallelujah. So if I'm broke, I'm coming to church. If I'm rich, I'm coming to church. If I'm happy, I'm coming to church. If I'm sad, I'm coming to church. If co-pastor mad at me, I'm coming to church. If I'm mad at her, I'm coming to church. And we're coming in the same car. And we're coming together. We ain't coming in separate. Why? Because we both love Jesus. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I mean, I don't believe in that purple party, but I love you. You love me. That's the way it's supposed to be. And a knick-knack, paddywhack. Let us all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.